10.
Okay. If you look at the third, at the bottom of the first sheet, you have the first pasuk in the parasha of Mishpatim. Ve'ela Mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. Ve'ela Mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. In order to learn the parasha Mishpatim, you have to remember the context of the sequence of the parashiyot. You know that the order in the book of Shemot is a big problem. And it's dealt with in various ways by the different mefarshim. But we know that the parasha of Yitro is the parasha of Matan Torah. We call it Matan Torah, which translated means to give the Torah. That the Torah was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael. Even though this is not quite accurate, because you remember that in the parasha of Yitro, what was given to Bnei Yisrael is what we call the Aseret HaDibrot. Aseret HaDibrot is certainly not the Torah. I mean, certainly less than what we call the Torah. So the parasha of Yitro is the parasha of Aseret HaDibrot. After Yitro comes Mishpatim, and Mishpatim, at the end of Mishpatim, at the end of Parsha Mishpatim, you have a parsha that begins with the psukim at the top of the page. Vayom Hashem el Moshe Elai Hahara v'yesham. Right, remember that pasuk? It's at the end of the Parsha Mishpatim. Ve'atana l'chad l'chot ha'evan v'atara v'amitzvah shekatavti l'oratam. Ve'atana l'cha, and I will give you, it says, the luchot, the stone tablets, v'hatorah v'amitzvah shekatavti l'oratam. So what exactly is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the parasha Mishpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give to Moshe Rabbeinu in the parasha of Yitro? Right? There's some kind of dissonance here. So Rashi says, Vayom Hashem el Moshe, you see the Rashi in Pasuk Yud Bet? Vayom Hashem el Moshe lachar matan Torah. Oh, lachar matan Torah. So what's matan Torah? Where was matan Torah? In last week's parsha. In the parsha of Yitro. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu receive, we know about, in matan Torah? Aseret HaDibrot. Maybe even less than Aseret HaDibrot. But Aseret HaDibrot. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, Lachar Matan Torah, Rashi says, Alei Elai Ahara V'yesham Arba'im Yom. So this is another story. It's a story of Moshe Rabbeinu going up on Har Sinai, where he's going to stay for 40 days. And what's going to happen there for the 40 days? It says, V'etna lecha luchot ha'evan v'atorah v'amitzvah. That's what the pasuk says, V'etna lecha. Rashi says that luchot ha'evan v'atorah v'amitzvah shekatavti l'oratav kol shesh me'ot u'shlosh yisrei mitzvot bechlal aseret ha'dibrot hein. All the 613 mitzvot are included in the aseret ha'dibrot, and then Rashi adds Rabbi Sa'adya Peresh ba'azharot sheyasad l'chol dibur v'dibur mitzvot ha'tuyot bo. In fact, Rabbi Sa'adya Gaon wrote a book in which he said he divided up all the mitzvot in the Torah into the 10 categories. He made the Aseret HaDibrot categories, and he put all the mitzvot in there. So according to Rashi, I mean, what happened? What happened on the day that we call Matan Torah, the sixth day of Sivan? Moshe Rabbeinu went up at Har Sinai, and he received the Aseret HaDibrot in one form or another. Then he came down. And then he went up again. There was a second sivui, as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you didn't get the whole thing. Come back up and get the Luchot HaEvan. You're going to get actually the Ten Commandments inscribed on these stones, right? That's one thing you're going to get. And you're also going to get the Torah and the Mitzvah. The Torah and the Mitzvah. So that if I read the psukim according to Rashi, there were two Matan Torahs. Well, two events that took place. One was very short. It took place on the sixth day of Sivan, And the second one also began on the sixth day of Sivan, and took how long? 40 days. It took 40 days. Those 40 days come to an end. When did they come to an end? It was those 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai. Then Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. Right, that Shivasu B'Tamuz. And then Moshe Rabbeinu discovered that the people had built an Egel at Zahav. That people had built an Egel at Zahav. And so what happened then? Took 40 days to clear that mess up. Right, so what are we up to? Rosh Chodesh Elul. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went up at Har Sinai again. He stayed there for 40 days. And we got to which day? Aseret B'Tishrei. There was no Yom Kippur yet. You're right. But it was the tenth day of Tishrei. So let's go through this again. Make sure we understand. In the parasha of Yitro, on the sixth day of Sivan, let's say the sixth day of Sivan, is it Machlokes in the Gemara, whether it's the sixth day or the seventh day, that doesn't interest us. Right? In other words, they came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. Came to Har Sinai Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And then 6 days later, or 7 days later, this whole business that we call Matan Torah took place, which was Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai, and everybody hearing, all the people hearing the Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to Moshe Rabbeinu and teaching the Aseret HaDibrot. How many of the Aseret HaDibrot did Moshe Rabbeinu learn at that time? How many? We don't know. One, two, all. Bnei Yisrael heard one or two, maybe more. But they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what they heard. And because, as you know, that's what the Rav Nosson says, that Vayaminu B'Hashem uVeMoshe Avdo means that in order, Vayaminu B'Hashem, that's great, that's theology. Like you go in the street and you hear something, do you believe in God? Oh, sure. But that's Vayaminu B'Hashem. But Moshe Avdo, Vayaminu B'Hashem uVeMoshe Avdo, that's to believe in the Torah. That's, in order to believe in the Torah, you have to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, because eventually, Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately tells you things that you don't know. You know, he heard them himself. So you have to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only that, but most of the sense, you have to believe that every generation has a Moshe Rabbeinu. Because after all, what do? All the time, we keep interpreting things. Right? People have shilas. People have shilas, and you give answers. Now the whole idea is that the answer should somehow be in tune with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. So it means everybody's giving the answers, like Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why Aminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo, but they still have to develop this quality of Aminu B'Moshe Avdo in order to be able to receive the Torah, otherwise there's no point. There's no point to receiving the Torah. Okay, so let's go through it again. In Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai, hears the Ten Commandments, and comes down again. At the end of the parasha Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up again on Har Sinai, and this time he's going to get the Luchos HaEven, and the Torah and the Mitzvah. And Rashi says, the Luchos HaEven, and the Torah and the Mitzvah, are all the same, because the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah somehow fit into the Ten Commandments, and that's what Rav Sadia Gaon proved when he wrote his book about the Aseret HaDibrot. That's what happens. So what happens in between? What happens in between Matan Torah number 1 and Matan Torah number 2, which seem to happen on the same day? First Moshe Rabbeinu went up and they heard the Aseret HaDibrot. Then he came down and he said to Bnei Yisrael, you accept the Torah. Come on, let's go, let's accept the Torah. What did Bnei Yisrael say? What did Bnei Yisrael say? Oh, you have to review all of this. Bnei Yisrael, no, you go. We'll stay here. We'll prepare the coffee and the rogalach. And you go and you come down. You'll have coffee to drink. We don't have to go and get the Torah. We have to get the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you go up and get the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He came down to the Matzah Egel that was Shivasu B'Tamuz. 40 days later, Rosh Chodesh Elul, that mess had been cleaned up. And Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai again for 40 days and 40 nights. It came down on the 10th day of Tishrei. In between Matan Torah number 1, what we call Matan Torah number 1 and Matan Torah number 2, is the parasha of Mishpatim. is the whole parasha of Mishpatim. What's Mishpatim? What is the parasha of Mishpatim contain? Laws of the Torah. Laws of the Torah picked in some arbitrary way. We don't know how they were chosen and why these laws are more important than other laws, but they're laws. Laws about the Eved Ivri and the Shifcha Kanaanit. I mean, those are the kind of laws that we have. And that parsha begins with the words, with these words, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem. Right, do you see those words at the bottom of the page? Ve'ela Mishpatim. Rashi quotes the Medrash. Right, do you see the Medrash at the bottom of Ve'ela Mishpatim? Where Rashi is? Look at the Rashi. Kol makom she'nemar Eile Pasalat Arishonim. V'eile mosif al rishonim. So Rashi said that there's this rule that the Chachamim have discerned, and that is that the word eile, is what they call in grammatical lingo a deictic pronoun. Those, like so, you point at eile hamishpatim. But sometimes the word is written v'eile. Sometimes you have eile, and sometimes v'eile. So is there a difference between eile and v'eile? So the Chachamim discerned that there was a difference. And maybe you could prove it, or maybe you go through and look at all the cases. I mean, I'm more interested in the determination of Chazal, which is quoted by Rashi. So Rashi says this, Kol makom shenema eile, Wherever in the Torah you meet up with the word Eile, Pasalat Arishonim, it means these are important. Right? There's those, and there's these. And when the Torah says Eile, it means these and not those. Forget about what we said up to now. Right? And the Medrash which I have here on the sheet, which you can go through later, indicates all the places in the Torah, many places in the Torah where this is true. But ve'eile, that's our pasuk, ve'eile mishpatim, mosif al harishonim. Right? Ve'eile means, and these also. And these also. So that the parasha mishpatim says not only what's written at the end of Yitro, not only the Torah in Yitro, but here's more Torah. And the pshat is, ma'arishonim misinai, ve'eile misinai. So this is a problem. This is the same problem that we talked about. When Bnei Yisrael learned the Torah, everybody thinks that they learned the Torah from Sinai. That could be true. But who taught them the Torah from Sinai? Moshe Rabbeinu. The only one who learned the Torah at Sinai was Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Bnei Yisrael learn? We said it already several times. What did Bnei Yisrael learn at Har Sinai? What did Bnei Israel learn at Har Sinai? They learned the Aseres HaDibros, or part of the Aseres, the small part of the Aseres HaDibros. You remember that before Matan Torah, there were two mitzvot that Bnei Israel as a community were able to learn. And we spoke about this. There were two mitzvot that Bnei Israel learned before Matan Torah. One was Kiddush HaChodesh in the parish of Bo. Right, Kiddush HaChodesh means sanctification of the new moon. Right, there's a new moon. And the second was, I think you have to agree, the second was Shabbos. Right, when did they learn about Shabbos? When Hashem gave them the man. Right, so part of the story with the man is that you can collect on free. You have to collect on Friday for 2 days. Even though on other days, if you collect for more than 1 day, whatever's left over rots and spoils. You could only collect for 1 day. But on Friday, you could collect for 2 days. So there were two mitzvot that they learned before Matan Torah, because they were important somehow for the national character of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, in order to receive the Torah, in order to be a recipient, you have to have certain qualities. And those qualities are embodied in the mitzvahs of Kiddush HaChodesh, on the one hand, and Shabbos. Those mitzvot were always seen to be reflective of the special nature of the Jewish people. Like, you know, the Kiddush HaChodesh, the time of the Greeks, in Hanukkah, they didn't want, they tried to prevent the Jews from doing Kiddush HaChodesh, even though we don't know why. We don't say what was so offensive about that mitzvah. And we also know that Shabbos, you know, Chara'am said that, Chara'am, remember Chara'am from Odessa? You remember? Chara'am, it was like an interesting Jew. It's probably today worth reviewing some of the ideas he had in order to like rediscover some kind of sense of national consciousness that I think we're kind of missing. I mean, I don't say things like this in Chutz La'aretz, but for those of us who've taken the plunge and become natives, you know, it's not always so clear that the Zionist idea or the Zionist ideal is being maintained here in the Holy Land. So Chara'am was a person who dealt with that question, like what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to be? You know. So Chara'am said, "Yoter Shabbat Yisrael Shabbat Shabbat, a Shabbat Shema of Yisrael." Right. More than we keep the Shabbos looks after us. So these two mitzvot, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah of Shabbos, Kiddush HaChodesh in the parasha of Bo, and Shabbos in the parasha of B'Shalach, were kind of necessary prerequisites to getting the Torah, because you see, that's how it worked. When it says Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to B'nai Yisrael, Kiddush HaChodesh, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to B'nai Yisrael, Man, and Shabbos. So that's what happened. But after Matan Torah number one, right, we've divided up, right? There's Matan Torah number one, that's the parasha of Yitro. And then there's Matan Torah number two, that's the parasha of Mishpatim. After parasha of Matan Torah number one, there were mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught B'nai Israel mitzvahs. And then, right after that, to continue, V'eila Mishpatim Asher Tassim Nifteyem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught B'nai Israel that there's more Torah. There's more. So why did the Kodesh Baruch say there's more? Why did the Kodesh Baruch just continue? So Rashi says, that's what Rashi says. In our Rashi, Maharishonim Misinai, Avelu Misinai. So that was always a problem. How do we know? And that's what I'm trying to explain. How do we know that the Torah is Misinai, meaning that the Torah is from God? I don't mean to ask these kind of annoying questions. You know, little children ask these questions all the time. We say, you can't ask a question like that. Which usually means that I don't know the answer. Right? If I don't know the answer, then I don't want my children asking the question. That's like an educational methodology, which gives the children a lot of confidence, and they stop asking their parents questions. They ask other people. They always ask the right. Boy, if the parents would only say, "Gee, I don't know the answer to that question," everybody would be happy. It would be like everybody in seventh heaven, the children, the parents. So the question of how do we know that the Torah is Misinai is an important question. Because we learned the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu said that it's from Sinai. When it came to the Aseret HaDibros, we know that it's Misinai, because we were there. And we saw, I heard, and understood, and felt, and whatever word, verb you want to use, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. We witnessed it. We were like in Moshe Rabbeinu's head. That's a good way of saying it. We knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet, because we were in his prophecy. So we knew that, but later on, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to B'nai Israel, right, to Yoshua Ben Nun and the Zkenim, and he said, "Oh, I just came from the Ohel Moed, and I just learned, and I learned some Torah. So I want to tell you the Torah that I just learned." So we believed him. That's what I said. That's what Vayaminu B'Hashem U'B'Moshe Avdo. They had to develop a level of faith in Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them the truth when he said Sinai. So the first Torah to which this problem is applied or refers is, as Rashi says, Ma'arishonim Sinai Av Elu Misinai. What are the Rishonim? The Rishonim is the Parsha of Yisrael. Whatever is in the Parsha of Yisrael. Av Elu Misinai. The Lava Nismecha Parashat Dinim, the Parashat Mizbeah. So how come the Rashi is a further question? Lava nismicha, right? You know what lava nismicha means? When do you ask the question, Lama Nischa? Nischa means leaning on. Like, how come two parashiyot come one after the other? When do you ask the question of when two parashiyot come one after the other? When you have an answer, very good. If you don't have an answer, you don't ask the question. Right, you know, in the Gemara, when you learn Gemara, they ask questions all the time, they always have answers. They never ask the questions that don't have answers. That got, like, knocked out. So how come, Lava Nismacha, how the Paka, the Pasha Binim, that's Ve'el HaMishpatim, what you have to, you know, Paska, how you Paska in Shailas, Bein Adam L'Chavero, how come that comes right after the Pasha of Mizbeach, right? At the end of the Parashah of Yisro, we learn that you have to build a Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach has to be made out of certain kinds of rocks and certain kinds of things, right? That's the Parashah of the Mizbeach. Lomar lecha, shetasim Sanhedrin, ayin shalom Mizbeach. So you have another limud, that the Sanhedrin, which is the highest court, is ayin shalom Mizbeach, but it's not just that. What's the Sanhedrin? What? Oh, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu. It's after Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like, and it's true that there was Sanhedrin with Eldad and Medad, and there was a 70 group council. But what does Sanhedrin mean? It means that after Moshe Rabbeinu, there can be a highest authority that tells you what comes from Sinai. That's the whole idea. I mean, the whole idea of the Jewish people. The whole idea that the Torah works. Is that we know. It's not like there's an internal, like a little discussion about whether you can take the ladle out of the cholent on Shabbos. Or, you know, it's not like that. It's not like that. We say, what does the Torah want us to do? Does the Torah want us to put the ladle back? Or the Torah not want us to take the ladle back? Is the ladle a kli rishon or is it a kli sheni? Right? This is all like discussions that you could have about a ladle. So, what's the answer? What's the answer to the question? The answer to the question is that the Torah says whatever it says. That's the answer to the question. So the Sanhedrin were the ones who did not adjudicate minor matters. But they adjudicated major matters of law, like the Zokin Mamre. It doesn't mean we have to go into it right now, but the Sanhedrin were the inheritors of Moshe Rabbeinu. The inheritors so that the Parsha Mishpatim comes right after the Parsha Mizbeach in order to teach us that the Torah can be renewed. And maybe renewed is a bad word for some people, but, you know, renewed means it really goes on. It goes on, and there's an answer to the question in every generation. Otherwise, the whole thing would come to an end. That's what Yitro, I mean, I'm telling you things that, because we didn't have a Pasha Shir last week, right? So I'm still stuck a little bit in Lessie's Pasha, but you know that the Pasha of Matan Torah is called Yitro, you know that? Yes, it's called Yitro? What do you think, Yitro is a big hero or a small hero? And what's Yitro? I mean, how come he got that covered? That when we say we're going to learn Aseres HaDibros, we say Yitro. Why do they say Bravender? Why do they say Yitro? But he taught Torah to somebody. What's the greater Gelegenheit than it's Yitro? Okay, he was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, but I'm not sure that he became his father-in-law because he sat in Kollel his whole life, or he was a great Rosh Yeshiva. I mean, that's not why he became his father-in-law. He became father-in-law, like de facto. I mean, he had to marry somebody, so there she was, you know. So what's Yitro? So you say, you know how parshas get named. Parashas get named by the first important word in the Pasuk. So it says, Vayishma Yitro. So we call it Yitro. He says, yeah, but the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have written the Torah. What does it say in the Parashas? Vayishma Yitro Chotein Moshe. Right? Those are the first four words in the first Pasuk. So if the Torah had just changed around the order of the words a little bit and said, Vayishma, that's no good. You're not going to call it Parashas Vayishma, right? Chotein Moshe Yitro. You would have said that. They say Chotein. That's also not what you call a parsha father-in-law. I mean, that's not. So they would have called the parsha Moshe. If Moshe had been the most important, it would be very simple. And what the Yisrael, the Yisrael eventually leaves. Right, Yisrael leaves, he goes away, Moshe Rabbeinu begs him to stay, and he says, nah, this is not for me. All these chumras, Glad Kosher, Chol of Yisrael, he says, this is not for me. Yisrael left. He left the whole, he saw what would happen. You know, his children go to yeshiva, his grandchildren go to yeshiva, and they would bother him all the time. He said, this way, I'm a king in my country, I'll go back to my country. So what did Yitro do? What's Yitro's great zchut? Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, if you sit and judge the people all day, you're going to get worn out, and you're going to get tired, and maybe your judgment will be impaired. Why don't you get a few assistants? Right now, anybody who works even in a small company knows that this is not a stroke of genius. I mean, it's what anybody would say. I mean, if you're working by yourself and you have a lot of clientele, so you get another person to assist you on the side. Like, what was the issue? So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yitro, listen, Yitro, I want the people to get the best possible answer. And they want to get the best possible answer. And the best possible answer comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's nobody else to give as good an answer. Who could give as good an answer? So I can't have an assistant. And Yitro said, listen, Navolti bo. He didn't mean you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to get worn out and die. He said this whole enterprise is going to die. Because look, eventually Moshe Rabbeinu will die. And if the people don't think that anybody can replace Moshe Rabbeinu, so that'll be the end. The death of Moshe Rabbeinu will be the death of the Torah. And so Yitro saved the Torah. I mean, simply put, there was this like disagreement. Moshe Rabbeinu said, everybody has to know the truth, so to speak. You know, it's got to be, you can only get it from this kind of rabbi and not that kind of rabbi. Everybody has to know the ultimate, unique, once-in-a-lifetime kind of truth. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And Yitro said, no, it won't work. The way it has to be is that we have to have the capacity to develop faith in the continuing leadership. And the only way to have faith in the continuing leadership is if you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will appoint them to be dayanim, to be judges, and while you're alive, they will be able to judge the people as well. So the parsha is called, Yitro, because Yitro is the one who saved the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who gave the Torah. He's an intermediary to receiving the Torah. But if not for Yitro, at least the way we have learned these things in the parasha, not for Yitro, the whole business would have come to an end. We wouldn't have been able to maintain. So the parasha of Matan Torah is called the parasha of Yitro. So we come back to that idea again. You see that idea again here in the Rashi, that the Mizbeach is connected to the Mizbeach, the end of the parasha of Yitro, is connected to Dinim, connected to the laws in Eila HaMishpatim, and it teaches you that not only is the Torah Misinai, the Torah that you heard, not only is the Torah Misinai, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught you that he heard in the Olam Mo'ed, but it also includes whatever the Sanhedrin indicate. Right, whatever the Sanhedrin teaches, all of that is called Torah Misinai. So according to Rashi, Ve'ela Mishpatim teaches us this great truth. Ve'ela means moreover. Not only what we have learned, but even more than that. The even more than that is the Torah that B'nai Yisrael learned after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai as a preparation for receiving the Torah. Right, you know, in order to receive the Torah, you have to accept the Torah. And therefore, at the end of the Parashah Mishpatim, we are told that B'nai Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Right, remember? Na'aseh v'nishma. What they say Na'aseh v'nishma to this idea. Na'aseh means we'll do what you have taught us. We'll do what we know. What does nishma mean? Even what you haven't taught us yet. We understand. What do we understand? That the Torah is not exactly a box that is closed and contains everything that it has to contain, but it's an ongoing, developing kind of matter. the Torah develops. Develop means that there's Torah that we didn't know about, or that we didn't discern, or that we didn't feel, right? However it is you want to say it, but that goes until today, right? It goes until today. That's what Torah is. Torah is something that is able to investigate or to deal with new kinds of problems and to come up with solutions. So we see that Matan Torah has two aspects to it. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to teach us, here's Torah, here it is. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to teach us also that there's more Torah. There's more than you learn. There's more than you've received. And in fact, you all should remember that B'nai Yisrael received the Torah, we call the Torah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, during the 38 years that they drayed around in the desert. During those 38 years, Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the Torah. Means that before the end of the 38 years in the desert, right, the end of the 40 years since Yitzhak Mitzrayim, there was no complete Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah. Right? This is the machlokas of the Gemara in Gittin about whether Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah as he taught it, like he had the cloth, he had this what do you call it, cloth, sheepskin, hide skin. What is it called? A parchment, like but parchment made out of animal skin, not made out of papyrus. Right, so there's a machlokas in the Gemara in Gittin about whether Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah as he taught it during 38 years. So he had these pieces of parchment, and at the end of 38 years he sewed them together and he had a Torah. Or that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah for 38 years and wrote it down at the end. And so the writing and the sewing and the completing of the Torah was all done at the end when the Torah had been taught completely. This is more or less the position of the Gemara, but everybody agrees that the Torah was taught during those 38 years, right? And that there's no machlokas, that B'nai Yisrael didn't know the entire Torah, what we call the Torah, until Moshe Rabbeinu had taught it to them. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to them during those years in the desert. So, we understand that there's Matan Torah number one, there's Matan Torah number two, right? That's in terms of the material in the Torah. Then there's also the Ve'elah HaMishpatim, which means that the Torah is not exhausted. We don't know all of the Torah yet. There's more Torah to be learned. Okay. Let's look at the Ramban. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, Ale Elai HaHara. Remember this Pasuk, Berakav Dalet Pasuk Yudbet, is a Pasuk at the end of the Parsha Mishpatim, right, which continues the Matan Torah of Yitro. And in between you have the Elah Mishpatim, many Pasukim, which Rashi called Dinim, right, the laws that took place in that time. Here, Mitzvah She'amar Lo Me'emesh, Alei El Hashem, this is the continuation of the Pasuk, several psukim ago, where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei El Hashem, V'nigash Moshe Levado El Hashem, right? That's the first psukim in the parak. V'ata v'yom ha-shvi'i, Yosif lo le'mor, v'yesham, v'atzina lecha, ki yetakei v'ka, v'ha ad yitere lav luchot ha'ev matara v'mitzvah, v'asher katavti yachzor el ha-luchot. I mean, he has this problem with the pasuk. And he says, Ala Torah, Vishiu HaKatuv. You see the fourth line? We don't have time to go through it word for word, but fourth line, the Ramban says, Shiu HaKatuv. Ve'etna lecha et luchot ha'evan asher katavti. He's quoting the Pasuk, right? Pasuk Yudbet. Ve'etna lecha et luchot ha'evan asher katavti. Ve'hatorah, ve'hamitzvah, lehorotam. Ve'hatorah, ve'hamitzvah. So he says, he had to mix the words around a little bit. Dalechad luchot ha'evan asher katavti, v'atorah v'amitzvah lehorotam. V'hu kasher amah b'mishne Torah, this is similar to another pasuk, v'adabra elechad kol ha'mitzvah, v'achukim, v'amishpatim, asher telamdeh. Right, and this is in line. In other words, even though the Ramban doesn't usually do this, in this pasuk he says that the word order is has to be rearranged. We have to change the word order, and that's similar to another pasuk in the beginning of Devarim. Rashi katav shekatavti b'toch luchot avanim lehorotam. Rashi understands this. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochol, wrote it in the luchot, in the stones, in order to teach them. Shekol sheish b'yot d'shloshu shei mitzvot b'toch aseret ha-dibrotei. That's what it means according to Rashi. In other words, the Ramban is pointing out that it's a little difficult to understand what this pasuk is talking about. Because God says to Moshe, at nalacha, one luchot ha-evan, two Torah, three mitzvah, asher katafti lahotam. Now what's the difference between Torah and mitzvah and luchot ha-evan? So Rashi takes a kind of the easy way out. And Rashi says, luchot ha-evan that contain the Torah and the mitzvah. How does that work out? So it's just all the Tayag mitzvah, they're all contained within the Aseret, that they brought. Then he calls Rabbi Avraham Ma'at Torah, Hadibur HaRishon Vasheni, that they already heard in Matan Torah number one. Va-mitzvah, Hashmona HaNizkarim, right? The other Ten Commandments. Ve'eno Klum, he says, this is ridiculous. Ki HaKatu B'mishne Torah V'adabrai Lecha. Ya'id ki al kol ha-mitzvot kolar yudabeh. According to the Ibn Ezra, we're only talking about the Ten Commandments. And he says, that's ridiculous. We're talking about the entire Torah. Now, that Rabbi Teinu, yitachein ki yeremesh ha-ita kol ha-torah k'tubra lefanav kodem shenivra ha-olah. But the Ramban says, well, he says, you have to remember, Al-Dat Rabotenu, you see the next to the last line, Yitachen ki yeremesh ha'ita kol ha-torah k'tuva lefanav kodem shenivra ha'olam ka'asher hizkarti b'tchilat sefer breshit. In other words, the Ramban says, ha-torah v'mitzvot asher katavti. I mean, of course, this is the... What's Asher Katafti? What is Asher Katafti? So, what Torah mitzvot Asher Katafti? The only thing that's Katafti, Aluchot Ha'Evet. So Rashi has this, he drains out of this question by saying that the Luchot Ha'Evet have the Torah and the mitzvot in them somehow. And even though Asher Katafti refers only to the Ten Commandments, but somehow the implication is that they are all there. The Ramban doesn't like that. He doesn't like the Ibn Ezra's attempt to divide up the Aseret HaDibrot into two for the first two and the other eight. But the Ramban makes a suggestion. According to the Chachamim, he makes this suggestion, and the suggestion is, Yitachen ki yeh remez shahatorah, shahaita kol ha-torah k'tuvah lefanav, kodem shenivra ha-olah. He says, we all know, I mean, the Ramban believes in this 100%. I mean, he says in introduction that the Torah existed before the creation of the world. He sees this as being a primary idea, but here, he's talking to the people who only want to learn pshat, you know, simple pshat. So he says to them in a kind of nice way, he says, well, maybe this is what Chazal meant when they said that the whole Torah was written before the creation of the world. And so that the pasuk says, Torah mitzvah asher katafti, doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah now for this particular occasion, but it means that I'm going to give you the Torah that I wrote before the creation of the world, or that was written before the creation of the world. That's the position of the Ramban. Let's look at the second page. We'll learn a little of this Svasemes. You see the Svasemes, in this Shmos Rabbah, in the Medrash, you have to look at it to see how the Medrash quotes all of the possibilities of Eilam Mishpatim. So the Svasemes says this, the Medrash of Eilam, Mosif al-Rishonim, he says, you know, the Medrash quotes, Medrash is the source for Rashi. V'eile, Masif ala Rishonim. Mashal and Matrona. Matrona is a fancy lady. In the Medrash, very often they had this notion of queens, you know, like Shlom Tzion or Malka, was held in very high regard, even more than kings. Hazayan Mikan Umikan. Zayan is like the guys from the Shabak who protect the Rosh Memshalah, Mizuyanim, the ones who are armed. So they're armed on one side, and on the other side, I ain't shop. Uver Rashi, Ma'arishonim Sinai, Kibemeta Kol Minatora. He says, just like the Rishonim on the Sinai, that means that Sarita Dibrot, everything comes from the Torah. V'hi notenet bracha, so now the Svat Emet wants to change. So in other words, the Medrash says that there's Torah before and Torah after. Torah before and Torah after. The Torah before is Eil HaMishpatim. V'Eil HaMishpatim. That's the Torah after. V'Eil HaMishpatim. And then there's the Torah before, the Torah of Parsha of Yisro. V'hi notenet bracha lefaneh l'achara. And this gives bracha before and after, k'mo shekol ha-briya nivra b'shvil ha-Torah. That's what Rashi says, Bereshit, that the whole Briya, all the creation is for the Torah. For the Torah means that there was a Torah, right? That's what the Ramban said, there was a Torah in the world. So the Torah has mitzvahs in it. In order for those mitzvahs to have any meaning, there has to be creation. So the creation was the creation for the Torah, to make the Torah a viable thing. Hador shekiblu haTorah hotziu mikol halapoa. Hador shekiblu haTorah. This is the Sfat Emet talking. He said like there was something in the world that was not correct. There was something that was shaky or impossible to understand. This is Torah, but there's no one to keep the Torah. So then there was creation, but creation proved to be creation proved to be mistaken or ineffective, because what did creation produce? It produced Adam and Chava and all the people in Dor HaFloga and Migdal Bovel and Noah, right? It didn't work until now. He says, V'dor shekiblu haTorah tzi mikoch ha'poal, from the potential to actual, the Torah. They did mitzvahs. That's what happened. Kol makom kiyum derot hakidum kodmim ayah liyot hachanat haTorah. In other words, in Bechol Zot, the Sfasemet says that the previous generation somehow were a preparation for accepting the Torah. Ukemoke mamash b'pratut b'bnei Yisrael shemikodem b'tzuchu liyasher atzmam kenyan hatken atzmecha l'mo Torah. So there had to be Torah that came before Torah in order for people to be able to absorb the Torah. This is what Maharal says. The Maharal says, you know why it's called Matan Torah? Matan Torah? Because there has to be someone who can accept the Torah. Right? You have to be able to accept the Torah. So like if somebody would give you a book in mathematics, you don't understand it, you can't take it. Somebody give you a book in written in Chinese, if you don't happen to know Chinese, they didn't give you anything. It's not a present. So he gave you a bar mitzvah present, a Chinese Bible. So did he give you something or didn't he give you something? So you could argue he didn't give you a thing, because you're not a kibul for that particular kind of book or information. You didn't get anything. So in order to have mekabel haTorah, this is the idea of the Maharal, and I think that the Sfas Emet is referring to that. That you had to be a mitzvah doer. In order to get a mitzvah, you had to be a mitzvah doer. So maybe that's why this Kiddush HaChodesh and Shabbos that comes even before Matan Torah. You know that Chazal also thought that the pasuk Shom Som Lo Chok Mishpat V'Shom Niso is about mitzvahs. That Bnei Yisrael receive certain mitzvahs before the Torah. So that in order to receive the Torah, which is about mitzvahs, you have to be a mitzvah doer. You can't be an idolater. You can't not have faith and accept the Torah. You can't not be willing to reshape your life and accept the Torah. That's all. All of that is. All of that is not possible. And so the that's the Sfas Emes says. V'chein ketiv sham yishavtu v'chol eit. V'lo hayu biyichud l'Moshe Rabbeinu. They were not. They didn't belong to Moshe Rabbeinu. And these are the mishpatim that have to be kept by the people who keep the Torah. These different levels exist for every servant of God. And in accordance, in as much as he is willing to be accepting of the Torah. So you have this kind of interplay between I reach to the Torah to tell me what to do, and once the Torah tells me what to do, then I can fix myself even more. I can go even beyond. That's called Musa, right? That's what the Maaseh Yeshurim says. That if you look carefully at what the Torah wants, you'll do it better. Well, not like a perfunctory thing, but it's like always, there's always better in anything that you do. Now, V'zeh shekdimu b'nei Yisrael na'aseh v'nishma, eino lefi sha'ar, rak shekeinu l'olam shetzuchim ikonu l'dakeira ma'asim. So he understands na'aseh v'nishma means, again, we will do the right thing in order that we should be able to shomeya. It was in order to hear the directive of heaven, you have to be in heaven. You have to be up there. You can't be down here and say, well, the word in heaven tells me something interesting, so then I'll join up. But somehow you have to be in heaven already. So you need the mitzvos of the Aseres HaDibros, you need Shabbos, you need Kiddush HaChodesh, in order to get you to heaven. And then you become a hearer. V'achar ha'shmiya hu hazman shetzuchim letaken ha'ma'asim biyoter arpe ha'Torah v'azochim lishmo yoter p'nimiyut ha'Torah. So he says that Torah is a quality. It's not just a book of instructions. It's, but when you get, this is Sfas Emes, this is how he felt. He said, the more you are a mitzvah doer, the more you understand what the mitzvah is and what doing the mitzvah is. And that's called the Shmoa. So Nase v'nishma means Nase al menat shenishma. Right? I do it in order to hear it. Okay, na'ikaru shetzarich liyoda mechuvan l'shem shamayim. The issue is that your heart has to be in heaven, which means that you could have a question. You could have doubt. You could have lack of clarity about certain things. But you're in heaven, and once you're in heaven, it's going to work out, right? Okay. So he said, "V'chata zochel shmoa v'chashmiya u'azman shetzuchim letaken ha'ma'asim biyoter al pi ha'Torah v'azochin shmo yoter v'pnimiyot ha'Torah." ואכן, העיקר הוא שצריך להיות המכוון לשם שמיים. ואדם עובד ליישר לבבו כדי להיות מוכן לתורה לעבדות השם יתברך, אז התורה מסייעת לו שיוכל לגמור המכוון. So it seems like a little like inconceivable. How could you ever know what God wants you to do, even about those things that God didn't tell you? God hasn't told you what to do. I mean, how can you know what it is you're supposed to do? So the answer is that there's a siyua. God helps you. It's from heaven to help you. Once you are clear that your desire is to do what the Torah wants you to do, then you're able to do it. So we see that the discussion, if you look at this Sfat Emet a little bit more, you'll see the discussion revolves, as we said today, discussion revolves around two questions. One is that the hard drive of the Torah, like where did it come from? So we know there's Matan Torah number one, and we know there's Matan Torah number two. Matan Torah number one is in the parasha of Yitro, and Matan Torah number two is in the parasha of Mishpatim. Matan Torah number one took a brief amount of time. Matan Torah number 2 took 40 days and 40 nights, at the end of which it wasn't 40 days, but it was 80 days and 120 days. Bnei Yisrael had the hard drive, there was somebody, Moshe Rabbeinu had the hard drive of the Torah, which was then taught to Bnei Yisrael in pieces over the 38 years. But there's a further limut in this distinction between what was taught in the parasha of Yitro and what is taught in the parasha of Mishpatim, the Elam Mishpatim. And that distinction is that it's not only possible to accept the Torah at the moment that the Torah is accepted, but it's possible to accept the ongoing interpretation of the Torah, and that's the dinim. That's the dinim that come down from the Sanhedrin. The Sfat Emet said, it's not only when there is a Sanhedrin. It's not only directives that we are talking about, but there is a notion of closeness to heaven through the Torah. The Torah is a door that opens up to a certain kind of closeness. And that closeness is reflected in what Bnei Yisrael said in the desert, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, you want the Torah? They said, Naaseh v'nishma. Naaseh means, we're going to do the hard drive. Like whatever it says, whatever the directions are, we're going to do that. Nishma means we know that the road has not yet been completed. That the distance from where we are until, you know, heaven has to also be covered, and that's done through Kiyumat Torah. So Matan Torah, even though we celebrate Matan Torah on a specific day of the year, but you know that doesn't exist in the Torah, but Matan Torah is celebrated on the day that we call Shavuot, which is 7 weeks after the second day of Pesach, right? But that day of Matan Torah celebrates the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave something to all of Bnei Yisrael. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Bnei Yisrael were the Luchos, were the Aseres HaDibros, and those Aseres HaDibros reflected the notion of Vayaminu Vashem Moshe Avdo, as we have explained. But the idea, and it's interesting, what do you do on Matan Torah, on the day of Matan Torah, and what's the minhag? At least amongst Ashkenazim, maybe not amongst Eidot HaMizrach, but amongst Ashkenazim, the minhag is to learn Torah Shebaal Peh. Interesting. I mean, you would think that there's a tikkun last Shavuot. I don't know if you ever saw it, but tikkun last Shavuot is based on the principle that you learn a little bit of Torah from everything, from every book of the Chumash and the Tanakh and the Mishnah, the Gemara. But in yeshivot, they don't do that. In yeshivot, they only learn Torah Shebaal Peh. They learn Gemara. This is why. Okay, you could say they learn Gemara because that's what they do. I mean, what expect them to learn Tanakh? They can't learn Tanakh. So you can have that like, little more cynical position, which is usually a position I like to adopt. But in this case, I would say this. Look, why are they learning Torah Shebaal Peh? Because the main truth in Matan Torah, the what enabled people to accept the Torah, was the fact that they understood that there would be a Torah Shebaal Peh. Because without a Torah Shebaal Peh, without what we call Torah Shebaal Peh, there would be no continuity. Right? Remember Yitro and the parasha of Yitro, and you needed this Torah Shebaal Peh so that on Shavuos, it's customary amongst Ashkenazim at least, or people in yeshivot, that you learn the Gemara that you're learning. And you don't learn the Torah shebichtav of the Gemara that you're learning. So that these parashiyot, again, there are these two ideas. One is that the Torah is ultimately going to be taught by Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael, and we have a mechanism that enables us to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is absolutely accurate and correct in his views. And secondly, the idea of Naaseh v'Nishma, that involvement with the Torah, right, is of tremendous significance. It changes who you are. It's not just, it always said, it's not just a Boy Scout, the Boy Scout manual, like where, I remember when I was a kid, I was a Cub Scout. I never made it to be a Boy Scout for some reason. I mean, not that I'm not happy with the effort, but I don't know why my career ended with Cub Scoutery. So they had this book, you got a book, and it told you what you're supposed to do. And if you did 400 things, then you got a little badge. And you got bought another boy, you got more badges. And then eventually, if you went on to the Boy Scouts, you could have an Eagle Scout. But like all these badges, like, let's say, tied knots, they weren't relating to it. And nobody thought that when you became an adult and worked on a computer, you'd spend half your time tying these crazy knots, you know. Like, it was sort of like... it was sort of pointless, like the whole thing. You couldn't integrate it anyway. It didn't mean anything. It just, you got a prize at the end, but the event itself was of no meaning. And so if you lost, you were what?
This was in Brooklyn, right?
Well, everything is in Brooklyn. I mean, there was, in those days, there was only Brooklyn. There wasn't anything else. But the Torah, you can't allow the Torah to be that. You can't allow the Torah to be, this is what Sfas said to be, a series of things that you do, even if you do them very carefully and very devotedly. That's not what the Torah is, but the Torah is an opportunity. There is an opportunity to kind of change your state. Like you're in a certain, you're the way you are. It's not a bad, it's not so terrible, but it's kind of prosaic. It's like not so interesting either. The Torah gives you a chance to change yourself and to think about things that are not conventional in the world. I use the word Kedusha. Kedusha is not a conventional thing, but the Torah says, oh, here's Kedusha. It's not Kedusha. You say, gee, you know, like that's something worth considering. So when I consider it, I actually change who I am a little bit, because people don't think about those things, think about other things, you know, and we think about these things, which are very good, which is not to say that there's no one else in the world who's thinking about interesting things. I don't mean that at all. But, you know, everybody is kind of limited to his own group, you know. It's hard for me to always compare myself to other people I don't know about. It's easier for me to compare myself to the people I do know about. So I say that the Torah makes tremendous demands on people. Makes tremendous demands, as we all know. But you can get used to anything. Certainly get used to the Torah. I mean, you can have plenty of people who are like, they do it, but it's not so interesting. You know, they go through the motions. They don't mind. They don't even mind. They just do it. And there are other people who are like searching, you know, so you don't have to be a Baal Teshuva to search. You could be like regular and search. And they are, and they're searching. They want to know, what does it mean? Does it mean anything? So that's good. That's Na'aseh v'Nishma, according to the Sfas Emes. We'll do the mitzvahs. We'll do what we're supposed to do. We'll be makpid as we are supposed to be makpid. But we're also going to be listening to hear things that are extraordinary, out of the ordinary, not regular. Okay. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you. 1 second, stop.